Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to check out our relaunch merch store where you can get all of your favorite SGPN gear. Just go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 163. This goes out to Darth Volk, the supreme leader of the UFC featherweight class, especially after his performance last night. Thank you for coming to this here show. Who would I be, you ask? I would be one of your hosts here. I'm the young Punisher, Jeff Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. This will be our recap, the aftermath of last night's UFC 276. Probably didn't live up to the level the past couple events have lived up to, but it was a meaningful event nonetheless. I am coming to you from from the MMA Gambling Podcast Studios, North. I'm norther than north this time. I may sound a little echoey where I am, and I'm a little under the weather, but I'm here for you anyway. I'm sick and on vacation, yet here I am with your recap, because somebody has to give me my flowers, as the kids like to say. Despite me beating my co-host in any metric you want to use, he's the one being praised like usual on social media and on our SGPN Slack channel. He's the Gumby God, because he hits one over the fence. He's the home run hitter. I'm the one that I'm the Tony Gwynn. He's the I want to say Mark McGwire. Yeah, he's the Mark McGwire of the podcast. So he gets all the praise, but I'm the one getting all the hits. But anyhow, let's bring him in, because I still don't have much of a voice here. He is officially back as Gumby God, especially after this past weekend, not just UFC. It's one and only Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, so here's one metric. Here's one metric where I did beat you. Number of plus 700 underdogs hit.
See, that's all the people care about.
That's all the people who care about. And hang on one second. I had to shout out to David L. Yes. For sending us his bet slip. Actually, he sent it into the Slack. So if you're in the Slack, you all got to see it. He sent in his bet slip hitting the plus 700 that we told them to, which we'll get to momentarily. And if you also hit like a plus 700 on, I'll say our behalf, because sometimes Jeff lends himself to some of that discussion. You didn't disagree with my Jalen Turner.
No, not at all. Prediction.
Yeah. So, nope. So if you got good advice from us last weekend, do us a favor, go leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Because we deserve more 5-star ratings than we have. So, wow. If you're a long time listener and never time reviewer, go be a first time reviewer.
Listen, this guy coming out hot out of the gate, jumping last night. I didn't get to watch the event live, so I just like went through after the fact. And yeah, there was a ton of messages done. There was like 500 messages just up and over the event. You guys were having a good time in there. Everybody was praising Dan when he told them right before the big plus 700 sub came through. Dan told everyone to bet it, and boom, came through. So everyone was praising our Lord and Savior Gumby God.
Yeah, it was really hopping, because even I ducked out to write a tweet or something like that from the SGPN MMA account, which, by the way, you should all follow that as well. I went to ducked out to send a tweet, and I came back in, and it was like 82 new messages, and like even the guys who aren't huge MMA fans popping in to get some MMA advice. So appreciate everybody in that channel this week.
Yeah, I guess pay-per-views always bring out the don't want to say this as an insult, but always brings out the casuals, as we like to call them. But maybe more so because Israel Adesanya kind of is a name in the sport. Is he going to be a name in the sport, though, after his performance last night? That's the question.
Yeah, and we can get into our thoughts on that in just a moment, yeah. Probably. Like, I probably shouldn't dig too deep into what I think before we officially start recapping and whatnot.
Yeah, I haven't told anyone about Wynn yet. Maybe I should tell people about Wynn, and then we'll dump all over Izzy. Or we won't dump all over, maybe not. Who knows? It was just, it's hard to follow Alexander Volkanovski's performance with the performance he put on. But nonetheless, while I still have a voice, let me tell you about Wynn. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $50, win $200 promotion. For a $50 bet, qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets, plus the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st. This month, so end of the month, and get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at wynnbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now let's move on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine, as do the SGPN guys. It's a game changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball, or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about Over/Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new Over/Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Daniel, do you have some picks for, I guess we better make it for Monday by the time this one drops.
Yeah, we're probably not going to get Sunday Night Baseball into anybody's ear. So let's see. I want to make sure I got a team that's actually playing Monday now, because I was looking at the Sunday schedule until you did correctly point out that Monday is probably when we should be making picks for. Let's see. Monday.
Yeah, it's like this is all news to you.
Well, I told you I was on the Sunday once. I could give you my Sunday Night Baseball pick if you want.
No, I probably won't drop it a time.
I'll take Freddie Freeman's over on hits. He's hitting against Kyle Freeland of the Rockies on Monday night. Go ahead and take Freddie Freeman with a whole bunch of hits.
I have him in fantasy. I don't know how I got him. I don't even think he was my first pick in fantasy in the one league. But yeah, I'm glad I got him. I guess people were thinking he was going to have a drop-off after leaving the Braves, but no. All right, here's what you do with a Freddie Freeman pick on your mobile phone. I'm sure you have one of those. You're probably using it right now to listen to us. Join a listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. See, you have broken arm or dislocated arm pictures on there. That'll bring the people in, won't they?
That always lures the people in.
It's all injury photos and people praising us for being so good at what we do. So to steal a line from another one of your podcast co-hosts. All right.
We're good at what we do.
Well, we are good at what we do. All right. T-Mobile Arena was jam-packed. I think it was 19,000. You can get all the gate attendance, all the fighter payouts over on my MMA site, moneymma.substack.com. But it was a little over 19,000 people in there. One of the seventh highest gate of all time, I believe, for the arena, over $10,000, $1 million, $10,000, $10 million they made in gate last night for this event. Like I said, had big shoes to fill over the past few weeks of UFC. Probably didn't fill those shoes, but meaningful nonetheless. Main event, Israel Adesanya, not surprisingly, unanimous decision, 49-46, 49-46, 50-45 over Jared Cannonier. Didn't really, he started out maybe a little more active, as the announcers were saying. He was a little more active than normal, Izzy. But he really didn't turn it on. Didn't try to finish the fight, just played it safe. Maybe he talks a bigger game than he actually does in the cage, because he has quite a few lackluster title defenses at this point. But the results were there. He beat Jared Cannonier. We had him at minus 400. We won a big $25 on our $100 bet.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, I'm not saying it's not lackluster, because you're right. It wasn't.
It was fine. It was,
yeah,
fine.
It was fine.
Special.
Yeah, my wife fell asleep after the third round, and
there
when
you
she
go.
Woke, she woke up. She goes, "What happened in the fourth and fifth?" And I said, "The exact same thing that happened in the first three." But
yeah,
like,
true.
It wasn't any different. But here's the question I have: is like, he's winning these fights, and he's winning them easily, right? Yes. Like, there's not. You can't go back to the, like, I don't know, the Marvin Vettori defense, or the I mean, I guess the second Robert Whittaker one was kind of close, but like, you can't look at these last three defenses and say like he's not winning them, right? He's winning them yep, fairly easily. So like, how do we look at it and say he's doing anything wrong, right? Like, I mean, yeah, like, could he go out in and be more flashy? Sure, and then exactly what happened against Jan Blankovic could happen, right? Like, because that's what happens when he gets a little bit too flashy. He puts himself in position to get taken down. He gets more tired, you know, the yada yada, whatever you want. But like, if he has no reason to like overexert himself, why overexert himself? Why do more than he has to win and get caught? Now, you know, like, I think he has to do more than he did in that like really lame Yoel Romero fight, but he did, right? Like, he did more than that with this Jared Cannonier win, and he did more than that with the Vettori win. And like, it's not like he's doing nothing. It's not like he's staring at his opponent. We just want the like crazy, you know, we want the Israel Adesanya we saw beat the shit out of Derek Brunson. We want the one that we saw go toe-to-toe with Kelvin Gastelum in a slugfest. We want, you know, to an extent, the one that beat up Anderson Silva. And like any champion does, as they get better and better and better, they just stop taking unnecessary risks. Because why take unnecessary risk when the payday keeps coming?
No, yeah, this is very true. With people, once they get the belt, they play it safe because they don't want to lose the belt and the paydays that come with it. And plus, obviously, they're only fighting the very elite of the sport at that point, once they're the champ. But I think the reason we want more is we know it's possible with him, and he all the talk leading up to these things and after the fact, he talks like he's going to put on these flashy performances, and then he doesn't come through.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly whether or not I take any stock in that, right? Because every fighter has to hype themselves up and make themselves look like they're the ones, you know, like the next coming or whatever. But like, I'm not sure that I'm mad that he's not doing more and he's saying he's going to. You know what I mean? Because like, that's what a good champion does. You know, it's not like he's telling us he's a completely different game plan. He's just telling us he's going to go for it a little more. And when he gets in there, he's got less openings, and instead just like easily defends the title and sells, you know, 750,000 pay-per-views.
Well, yeah, that thing. We're going to have to wait and see if he keeps selling that many pay-per-views. He finished Robert Whittaker to get the title, and then he finished Paulo Costa, and that's the only finishes he's had since he's become champ. So can't knock his skill level and the way he's dispatching these people very easily, but you'd like to see him put his foot on the gas a little bit more, but nonetheless, like Dan said, maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe if his paychecks start being a little less because he's selling less pay-per-views, maybe then he will have to put his foot in the gas and try to finish these people. So he's basically Anderson Silva minus the finishing in my eyes.
But didn't Anderson Silva also put together like towards the end, like some,
yeah, once he was old. Yeah.
Yeah. Like some of the more, I'm not saying lackluster again, cause it's still Anderson Silva, like beating the hell out of people. But like, I mean, he put on the Tiali Slaytes fight, which you guys remember that one. That was not fun to watch. The Damian Maia one.
Patrick,
I mean,
Cote.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, the Cote one wasn't fun.
So it was a good comparison then.
The Shale Sonnen one wasn't fun until he finished Shale Sonnen. Yep. You know, like he put in some ones. And you know what, though? That was also after winning the title and holding it on to it for a while. Yep. And then he turned it on against Vitor, and he turned it on against Yushin Okami, and, you know, then he clowned Chris Weidman, and it was over.
Yep. I guess it just shows, I guess this is a compliment to Izzy, that we still expect more from him, even though he's a dominant champion. So, all right. So may as well jump to who's next for him. We may as well jump to the third fight from the top. Alex Pereira came through for Dan, minus 120. I had Sean Strickland. Strickland decided he was going to kickbox with the kickboxer. Not a good idea. Pereira knocked him out, which people were acting like, oh, you know, Sean Strickland gets knocked out. No, he doesn't. Sean Strickland has been knocked out once before. Lazio Zaleski Dos Santos is the only person who's knocked him out, and that was when he was still cutting weight to get
welterweight. And it was a weird spinning attack that hit him in the face, too. Real weird.
Yeah, people act like this. Like, I heard people saying, well, Pereira, I mean, Strickland gets knocked out. No, he doesn't. So this is quite a feat. Plus, it only took him 236 to get it done.
Yeah, and it was one of those lead hooks, too, which was kind of wild. Like, he hit him with a left hand. He's a right-handed boxer. Like that is crazy power for, like, a lead hook like that. I mean, like, Pereira, I knew deep down that Strickland was going to box with him. Maybe not for the whole fight, but for long enough for it to matter. I kind of want to take out the clip from last week's show. Where I say, here's a question for you. Do you think Sean Strickland's ego is big enough that he'll box with him? And you're like, oh, I hope not.
Yeah, well, but that's one of the problems with us recording like a few days before the actual event, because you don't get to hear all the interviews and Strickland saying how he spars with Glory Kickboxing boxers, and you know he thinks he can stand with him. Once you hear stuff like that, then you know your opinion changes. So.
But yeah, I mean, it does sometimes, but like also some fighters say some shit, as like we were just noting, which
Sean Strickland does.
And Sean Strickland certainly does, right? Like he was going to go out and punch a hole through Jack Hermanson's head and try to kill him, right? And then he threw 171 jabs and did very little damage. It was real dumb for him to kickbox with him for more than 1 minute. And it turns out that's about the amount of time he could have survived, just a little bit over 1 minute. And yeah, Pereira, I can't imagine they don't give him the title shot next, right?
Yeah, that was the next question. Yeah,
it's got to be. And it's, I will say this, like, it's not just that, like, hey, we might as well cash in on this while it's hot, but I'll also say this, like, Izzy has exhausted all of the other options near the top of the division. Like, there ain't anybody left.
Yeah, I'm taking a peek. My performance rankings that I run on that aforementioned Money MMA Substack site. Let me see. Derek Brunson is the top ranked guy now after Izzy, and he lost his last fight. So
right.
And then Marvin Vittori, he's on a one fight winning streak, and he's already fought Izzy. So yeah.
And Brunson's already fought Izzy too. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That one happened before he was champ. So he's already fought Whitaker. And this is just going down the UFC's official rankings. He's already fought Whitaker. He's already fought Cannonier. He's already fought Vittori. Sean Strickland just got sent to the Shadow Realm. He already fought Brunson. He already fought Costa. Then we're at the first person on the list that Izzy has not fought is Jack Hermanson. Unless you want to count Sean Strickland, who, like I said, just got sent to the Shadow Realm. Like, it's not a great list of possible opponents for him. I mean, like, Darren Till, I guess, is right there. The winner of Darren Till and Jack Hermanson. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine right there fighting. Did I make that up?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's true.
Okay. So, yeah, like the winner of that, I guess, is a decent second option. But like when somebody comes in and does what Pereira just did, like, I think it gives you the perfect opportunity to not have to use that.
Well, yeah, this division is pretty wild. Okay, these are, we'll just go through the top 10 or so, maybe top 15. All these of my rankings, all these guys are coming off a loss. Cannonier, Brunson, Strickland, Tavares, Hall, Whitaker, Costa, Till, Hermanson. Like, no one is on a streak here. The only people on a streak is Andre Muniz, who's not ready yet. Chris
Curtis.
Could
get one more. He could get one more with like the winner of Tillman and Hermanson, and I could see him being the next in line.
Yep. Chris Curtis, not ready yet, and Dreikus Duplessis, not ready yet. So we have some people on the way up, but we have a lot of people on the way down too. So yeah, this is perfect timing. This is a long way of me saying this is perfect timing for the Pereira fight. Strike while the iron's hot. Plus, you know, you can't really say he's not deserving at this point either.
No, he's 100% deserving. Book it now. Set it for the end of the year. You know, see if you can get it someplace exotic. You know, like this is a great fight for Fight Island, or a great fight for if you can go back to Australia. Like, that would be a cool one. Like, yeah, get it somewhere where you can get a big gate.
Dan's backyard.
Yeah, I'll set up a cage and let those two fight for sure. Yeah,
that would be fun. All right, I've had odds email to me this afternoon. What do you think Adesanya Pereira fight odds? Not that it's going to happen, but actually, who's going to win?
I'm going to say Izzy is the favorite, but only slightly, like -145.
He opened at -180, and he's since dropped to -160. So very quickly, a lot of money came in on Pereira. What do you think, quickly, off top of your head? Who would you pick in this one if what's happening tomorrow?
I think I'd still pick Izzy, but I will say yesterday made me think that Pereira's got way more of a chance than I originally had. And I will also say, depending on where the odds fell, would really depend on how I would play it. Like, if Pereira winds up being even money, I don't think I would take him. Like, I don't think there's any reason to play him as a dog at like, you know, plus 100 or if he does move into being a favorite, because people love this recent knockout. But like if he stays in the like plus 175, plus 180 range, come the time to make a pick, I think I do like him there. I think I'd probably pick him there.
Yep. Very, very true. Definitely not going to be a recommended play for me either way, because this is, I can tell you right now, I'm not positive who's going to win this fight, because and we didn't even mention Pereira beating him twice in kickboxing, one time knocking him out cold. I don't know if that's gonna be a motivator or if it's gonna be something to make Izzy doubt himself, but it's something you can't overlook mentally, at least.
Yeah, and I think that interesting part and part of the reason why it's a hard fight for me to call is because Izzy won't be able to do what he did last night. Like, Pereira is gonna bring the fight to him. Like, the fight is coming to Israel Adesanya. He's going to have to put in like a Calvin Gastelum type performance, you know, like he did against Calvin Gastelum, who also brought the fight to him. That I feel like that's a thing we're not mentioning enough about Jared Cannonier or Marvin Vettori. Like, these guys did not bring a fight to him. Like, we can be mad at Izzy for like not putting in like a crazy spinning back fist filled performance, but like nobody forced him to. Nobody made him fight that fight. So I think Pereira does. And I think that that's what makes this so interesting, too.
Could be exactly what the doctor ordered then for Izzy Adesanya, especially if he makes it past that that hurdle. Plus, this allows some of the younger guys I mentioned to get another fight under their belt. And hopefully we have a up-and-comer ready to challenge whoever the champion is after this fight goes down. So timing-wise, you know, middleweight's a bit of a mess. With a lot of people, a lot of fighters, you know, on the downswing, as I gave you that list. But things are timing out nicely, which is nice. So, all right. Before we move on, I want to tell you about our merch store. Our merch store is revamped and relaunched right now. That's the SGPN merch store I'm talking about. Of course, there's tons of awesome gear from your favorite SGPN shows. Easy for me to say. So, including the MMA Gambling Podcast. So support the show. With your dollars, we give you podcasts for free. Buy some of our gear now. Be walking advertisements for us. Here's how you do it. Go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And then you can get all of our merch. especially the MMA gambling podcast merch. Also, you should, in case you've, you know, taken a swing on too many of Gumby's crazy underdogs, or you bet against Macy Barber too much and you find yourself low on cash, you know, short on cash, and you have unexpected expenses coming up, then Dave, I suggest you use Dave. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can be really stressful when unexpected expenses come up, such as Macy Barber winning and you picked against her. Now, Dave can help you get out of the pinch when you really need it. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on bills. So download the Dave app from the App Store right now. It's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account. Get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. For some reason, the illness makes me a worse reader than I was before. But anyhow, Dave. All right, we jumped ahead. We skipped perhaps the most impressive performance of the evening. Alexander Volkanovski shut out Max Holloway. Beat him for a third time, as we predicted. No reason to pick against Volkanovski. 50-45 across the boards. I'm glad he made me look smart when I was writing how every fight he seems to be getting better still. So there's really no reason to pick against him. And last night proved it. He was better in every aspect of the game. He was better. Decision victory, but far more impressive than Adesanya's, even though they did similar things. I guess he was far more active than Adesanya. That was the difference. So Volkanovski is getting praised now as the supreme ruler of the featherweight division. Minus 195 we got him for, which I thought was a good line to begin with. And after the fact, it was an even better line. So we made some decent money off of that. Volkanovski continues to add to his resume and his reputation as perhaps the greatest featherweight of all time.
Yeah, and I would say this. The reason he's getting praised is, first of all, you're right, a little bit more active. Second of all, we all have more faith in Max Holloway than we do Jared Cannonier. So that's another piece. And then in addition to that, to look that good against a guy who spent 50 minutes in the cage with you already and went toe-to-toe with you, you know, for two sets of championship rounds already, and to make him look like he has no idea what you're doing is so impressive. But it's like I said, like, he continues to get better. He's one of the best game planners that has ever lived. And I think that this just goes to show that, like, we do, even as much as we are praising him and heaping the praise on him, we continue to downplay just how good this man is. Because I do think he's the best fighter on the planet right now.
Yep, he definitely is adding to that. If you think Usman's ahead of him still, so be it. But he's definitely closing the gap. Just look fantastic. Like I said, there's no aspect of the sport that he's bad at. Who's next for him? Josh Emmett is my top rated guy after that, after Holloway. And then we got a bunch of people with L's. We got Holloway with an L. Ortega's coming off a loss. Chikaze's coming off a loss. Cater's coming off a loss. Korean Zombie's coming off a loss. So we got Emmett, Arnold Allen. And then I guess we got a big fight coming up. Ortega versus Yair Rodriguez. You can't really see Rodriguez getting a title shot, though, after a win, can you?
I could if he had an insane finish. Like, I think, yeah. So here's my current suggestion. I think if somebody wins that UFC Long Island fight with an insane finish, you know, like a Ortega goes out there and subs him in one, or, you know, Yair comes out and hits like a spinning back kick to the ribs and finishes him, I could see whoever that is jumping the line. I'll start there. Secondly, you know, we talked about whether or not Josh Emmett was going to get that title shot off of the Calvin Kattar win. We were impressed, not terribly impressed. Didn't feel like the type of performance that'd get him a title shot. I more think the winner of the Long Island fight and Josh Emmett will probably fight for a number one contender fight. But I'll say this, like, it really is starting to look like Alexander Volkanovski moves to the lightweight division.
Yeah, I buried that lead, unfortunately. Yes.
I mean, like, it seems like that's it, right? Like, it does. I mean, he is finally starting to mention it in interviews. I think largely because he's sick of fighting Max Holloway. But, like, he's finally starting to mention it in interviews, which he had never done before. Like, give the guy some credit. You know, like, out of the gate, he was never the type to be like, you know, send me up to fight, you know, I don't even remember who is the champ when he took the belt. Connor, maybe. Send me up to fight whoever. Send me up to fight, you know, Habib. Send me up to fight whatever is up there. Instead, he was like, I got business to take care of in this division, and he did. And now that he's kind of cleaned up the division and made people look silly and doesn't really have a great contender waiting in the wings, like, it seems like the right time for him to just cash that check and go up. And I'll tell you what, I don't hate him in a fight with Charles Oliveira either. Like, I think I'd pick him.
All right, well, you can get him at plus 110, I've been told. Volkanovski plus 110, Oliveira minus 130 are the opening lines.
That seems about right. Like, you know, you've got to have
a bigger weight class guy. It seems always are the favorite.
Yeah, they always seem to be the favorite. He's got a good sub game, which we've seen Volkanovski, you know, struggled with a tiny bit with Ortega. And also, like, you know, the length is going to be wildly different. Not that Volkanovski hasn't dealt with length before. I think that's lined about right. And I think I do like Volkanovski in that one and would be pretty happy with Dog Bunny for it.
The issue is lightweight's a messy division currently. There is no champion at lightweight. So what, you have him fight Oliveira for the vacant belt?
Why not? I mean, like, Oliveira's fighting somebody for the vacant belt, and you don't have to call it a title defense, but that's what it is. And also, like, again, you're right, it is a messy division in that, like, we've got a non-champ and we don't really know who the next contender is, but isn't that more of a reason to do this now? Lightweight does not have, much like featherweight, does not have a very good number one contender right now. I know people are out there being like, oh, give me Islam Makhachev, but, like, his last performance didn't look great. Didn't make me say, like, please feed him to Charles Oliveira. Like, I think this is strike while the iron's hot again. Make a big fight in Volkanovski versus Charles Oliveira.
You think Volkanovski's big enough for lightweight? He's pretty small for featherweight, even.
Do you remember he used to weigh
214 pounds, bro?
Yeah. We always gotta mention it.
Meant more height and length. That height matters, but
I think the length is gonna bother him. But look, he just beat Max Holloway three times.
Yep. Holloway was too small at lightweight, so.
Yeah, Holloway's 5'10" or some shit like that, and he still is cracking him. You know, like, I'll say this too, Volkanovski may be short, but he fights much longer than he is, and he's got really long arms too. So would he be the best in the world up there? I don't know, but I'm willing to find out.
Yep, may as well do it, especially at lighter weight classes. Any marquee fight they can put on, that they should do it. So to bring in the, you know, casual, like I said, not to insult the casuals out there, but, you know, casuals usually go for the heavier weight class fights. But if you can make a awesome super fight at a lighter weight class, then do it for sure. So, all right. So we hit that one. Next fight, Dan hit the Pereira. I lost to Strickland. Next fight, Brian Barberena. It was a little dicey there. Robbie Lawler looked very good to start this fight. But as always, that's another common thing with old fighters that are age out of the sport, that they have flashes of looking good and you think, oh, he's doing okay. Like Tony Ferguson was doing okay too, but then they end up getting caught. Brian Barberena TKO'd Robbie Lawler, basically knocked him out on his feet. That's, I think, the only reason it was a TKO is because he didn't go down. If he went down, it probably would have been a KO, but he TKO'd Robbie Lawler in the second round after getting his nose busted up. TKO punches 447 into round two, got us some even money there, plus 100. One of only two dogs that came through last night, which is one of the reasons why Jeff Chalks had a good night.
Yeah, so I would say Barberena let loose offensively enough to make Lawler feel like he could let go. Because we talked about it on Thursday, that Lawler has kind of been gun-shy and just not felt like he could let go. And I think Barberena's defense was just, like, sloppy enough to make Lawler feel comfortable. Which was, at the end of the day, good for both of them. They both took home 50K for the performance of the fight of the night bonus. But like, yeah, good on Bam Bam. You know, like huge wins in a row. Back to back, he takes out legends and Robbie Lawler and Matt Brown. I hope he winds up with another fun fight against another legend type next or something like that. Because, man, is he putting together a nice run here as he gets – you know, he's not a young dude, too. I feel like people forget that Brian Barberena, you know, 33, which for, you know, yeah, but for those weight classes, he's kind of
better at middleweight. Yeah.
Yeah. He's at the cusp of when you can start being in your 30s and okay. Because like it's, you know, like the lighter weight classes, it's pretty rare. But yeah, like, you know, he's put together a nice 3-fight winning streak. He's won 4 out of 5. Like, yeah, he's starting to put a pretty nice run together. So let's see him do something fun with it.
And it's good to see him get some success after Dan caused him to have those ruptures in his stomach after being on the Top Turtle podcast. Right.
Hey, we talked to him after that too, and he did just fine.
It's true. Yeah, that's true. So it's okay that Dan made him almost die by having him on his podcast. Right?
I would say it's fine. He's okay. He showed he's okay with.
It's true. He's okay. He can go back to farming. Did he wear overalls with no shirt to the presser? Is that true?
Yeah, he did. I
saw a picture. Like, what?
Yeah, there's a picture of him next to O'Malley in Pereira in Sugar Show. And it is, I mentioned Sugar Show already, Holloway. And they are all dressed very differently.
Like a 1990s hip hop video, Brian Barberena, straight out of a Color Me Bad video. All right. Speaking of Sugar Sean, he didn't look so hot last night either. Groin kicks and then the accidental eye poke ended the fight. No contest. 3:09 into the second round. So I thought if the fight was past the halfway mark, then they go to the judge's decision. I guess I'm incorrect there.
Dude, this is...
You don't know either, right?
I don't know.
Because this was past the halfway mark, so I thought he was going to win on the... It was an accidental eye poke, so I thought they'd go to the scorecards.
You know, I think that they have to be done with 2 rounds? I don't remember the rule. And I think it depends on the commission you're at, too. So,
true.
So, I mean, like, a couple of things could have possibly caused that. But, like, here's the other thing. Like, he doesn't win that fight if it goes to the judges' scorecards.
He didn't look that great. Well, far too cautious, obviously.
And he lost the first round. Like,
yeah, Munoz was active with the leg kicks, yep.
The only judge who of the three who gave him the first round was our good friend Sal D'Amato. so, like, the other two judges scored it for Pedro Munoz in the first round. So, like, and hey, maybe he's winning that second round, but then you get a draw, I guess. Maybe it has to be into the third round, because like then you would have 3 rounds to judge, right?
It's good that we have to guess these things. It's good also, but I guess Munoz didn't know he was winning, because didn't you hear he quit? That was his way. Every time something like this happens, the victim gets blamed. So much victim shaming in the sport. No, he looked for an easy way out, he quit, blah blah, like not just people on Reddit, not just the mouth breathers, but actual athletes in the sport say these things.
You know what I don't understand about that too, that narrative, is like if he was putting a beating on him like he did to Chris Moutinho, or the one he put on who did he fight after that, Raulian Paiva, if he was putting those kind of beatings on somebody, like, okay, like, I still don't agree. Like, if he gets poked in the eye, most likely he's not looking for a way out. But, like, he wasn't. He wasn't hitting Munoz. Like, Munoz hadn't been hit hard the whole fight. Like,
he hit him hard in the crotch, and then he hit him hard with a finger
in the cornea. Eye. In the cornea, yeah. Yes,
he couldn't open his eye, all right? Enough. Enough with the people making, oh, he wanted a way out, bro.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of injuries, I feel like I meant to mention this, but I didn't. Did you see that Alexander Volkanovski broke his hand in the first round?
No, really? Which hand?
Apparently his right hand has been broken since the end of the first round.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he still punched like that. Like, dude, incredible. Anyway, I didn't mean to take away from O'Malley's beautiful performance, which, by the way, he celebrated. He celebrated at the end.
Yeah, I bet he did. Yeah, he did. He did that stupid jump shot thing he does. Yeah. And you know, Dan had a perfect main card. You went 4-0. I went 3-1. So fantastic for you, Dan. Great job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. And a dog and a even money in there too, right?
Exactly. Yep. Just Barbarina. That's the only dog you hit. So
and Prayer was close to even money. Right?
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah.
Yep, very close. All right. Let me tell you about IP Vanish, and then we're going to rip through the prelims for you. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data. Hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 7% off the yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promo code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, let's rip through these prelims. People are probably tired of hearing my sick voice and perhaps an echo in this room. But we got to talk about this man, though. He deserves a bit of our attention. Jalen Turner, the Tarantula, Spider-Man, one of my favorite fighters now. He's quickly vaulted up the ranks. Submission guillotine choke over Brad Riddell. Dropped him with a punch. Snatched him in a guillotine 45 seconds into the fight. This is Dan's big plus 700 sub dog that came through. We all had him at minus 135, which was a very generous number to begin with. I was happy with that number. I'm a conservative, chalky guy. I was happy just to take the minus 135. Dan took it to another level with the sub plus 700 sub, which is a crazy number because that's what Turner does. And this was a very clear path to victory for him.
Yeah, well, and you know, like he wound up clubbing and subbing him, right? Like that wound up being the finish. But like he's had plenty of like other subs too, right? Like his other ones weren't just clubbing and subbing. Like, so I thought there were multiple paths to get to this plus 700. You know, I'm real happy it happened in 45 seconds. So I didn't have to sweat it out at all.
No sweat at all.
None whatsoever. Just cash that plus 700 ticket right there because my goodness, Jalen Turner looked phenomenal.
He sure did. He deserves a step up in competition for sure now. I think he's up for a new contract too, possibly, or he just started a new contract, one or the other. So things are looking good for him. 6-2 in the UFC now. He's won 5 straight fights. Looking at my rankings at lightweight, he's jumped up to number 7 now. He's right in the Rafael Fiziev, Rafael Dos Anjos range, just behind Gamrot. So do you have ideas for him next?
I mean, I hate putting two people I really like up against each other, but like, it feels like somebody like Gamrot is probably the answer because like they'll both be in the top 10 with none of the usual top 10 guys willing to fight them. Right. Like Michael Chandler is not going to take a fight with Jalen Turner. Beneil Dariush is not going to take a fight with Jalen Turner. Justin Gaethje or Islam Makhachev are not going to take fights with Jalen Turner. Maybe Tony Ferguson you could get to take a fight with Jalen Turner. It seems like Tony Ferguson needs a bigger step back than Jalen Turner at this point. Like he should be fighting somebody, you know, out of the rankings probably. But like, yeah, like any of those guys work, but like won't take fights with him. So like it feels like Gamrot sitting right now at number 8 in the UFC's official rankings. You know, Turner might be 9-10. Come ranking time, like those two probably make sense, and whoever wins that, it's going to be hard for the Justin Gaethje's, Dustin Poirier's of the world to like stay out of their way.
And this is no joke. As you were saying that, I got a direct message on Twitter. I hit the Jalen Turner by sub thanks to Gumby. Cheers to y'all.
Nice. No joke. So that's
the
phenomenal.
Timing is impeccable. So thanks to Jalen Turner as well. What was next? Oh, Jim Miller, Donald Cerrone. Another one we predicted correctly. Jim Miller won via submission. A very top guillotine choke on Donald Cerrone, minute 32 into the second round. He was not letting Cerrone out of that one, even though Cerrone is a tough guy to tap out. Miller got the job done, and Cerrone retired, says he doesn't love the sport anymore. So I'm sure in a few months he'll love it again, and we'll see him fight again.
I don't know. He's making movies for the Daily Wire, isn't he?
It's true.
So I think he's got other stuff that he's into now, which I'm pretty sure I said in the breakdown too, right? Like, Jim Miller looks like he's getting better. Donald Cerrone looks like he wants a new profession. So exactly what happened, what I thought would, other than I thought maybe Jim Miller would crack him with a punch. He subbed him instead, so I'm cool with that too. But yeah, look good. Jim Miller looked good. That's for damn sure.
Yep. And it's three straight for him. People were, I think Dredney was bad-mouthing him on the Slack, but I won't stand for that.
No, no, not at all.
Miller is the man.
He's fighting at UFC 300 in a couple years, so buckle
exactly.
up. You got plenty more Jim Miller to go.
Yeah, no bad-mouthing Jim Miller. Welterweights, Ian Garry picked apart Gabe Green on the feet, as I predicted. 3-0. Dan had Gabe Green. Another good win for Garry. Looked decent. Looked like a up-and-coming prospect against a journeyman, basically, is what it looked like.
Yeah, he looked like I've been waiting for him to look like.
Yep.
Right? Like, he looked like what he was advertised in when he was in Cage Warriors. And then, you know, had that weird fight with Jordan Williams where he got kind of outboxed for a round before landing a big knockout punch and then went the distance with Darian Weeks. This time he looked like he's supposed to. Much yep. faster against the guy who's, you know, game and has got good knockout power, and he moved in and out and stayed out of Gabriel Green's range. Like, yeah, that was a much more impressive Ian Garry, and will make it so that I don't automatically fade him with the odds tilted in his favor, despite the fact that I didn't think they ought to be. So yeah, Ian Garry looked good. Props to him. Well,
hopefully they don't rush him up too fast. Keep giving him logical moves up, because he won't be 25 until November. So still plenty of miles to go for this man. And then to start off the prelims, DDP, bang, Dricus Duplessis beat a very game, impossible to finish, Brad Tavares, 29-28 across the boards. DDP did not look good to start the fight. It's not a good day when I agree with Cormier and Rogan, but he does have to take something off some of his shots, because he just goes balls to the wall the whole time. It's going to catch up to him eventually, but it didn't last night. He righted the ship, won the last two rounds, got us minus 130, which I was high on that number heading into that fight.
So I'll ask you this, because I did find myself agreeing, like, yeah, dude, he probably could use to pump the brakes just a little bit. But then here's my counterpoint to that. I know the broadcast kept saying he was tired in the second and third round. Did he look any slower?
No.
Like, he might have been breathing heavier, but his body never stopped moving at the speed it was moving at earlier, which is why he won the fight, because he lost round one. So, like, yeah. I think the only way that, like, going crazy will cost him someday down the road is if, like, he gets countered or he gets counter-wrestled. But, like, right now it's working. So while I definitely had some of those same emotions, like, thinking about it afterwards, man, maybe it's just his style and it works.
Yep. No, it's true. I wasn't as worried about the gas tank as getting caught.
It's
more of the concern. So as he moves up too, but hey, he's still young in his career, so who knows, but still a fan, especially at minus 130. I'll always be a fan of that number depending on who he's fighting.
Yeah, and he's probably booking a fight with one of those other guys who's, like, skirting right around the edge of the top 15, the Chris Curtises and the Nassourdine Mavovs and those types next. It should be good, you know, pair him with any of those guys.
Yeah, Tavares, no slouch, 14. He was 14-6 in the UFC heading into that fight and ranked. So this was a very important win for DDP. So, all right. Early prelims, Andre Muniz beat Uriah Hall, broke Dan's heart in the process, 3-0. He could not sub Hall, no matter what he did. Hall was just happy to be on his back and play some defense and not get subbed, it seemed.
Yeah, like, I think he would have subbed Hall if Hall ever tried to get back up.
He got up a couple times, I guess, briefly. But
early, early yeah. he did. In the third round, he got his back taken and he was like, cool. He can't hurt me here. And I'll just tuck my chin and hold on to his hand and make sure I don't get subbed. And we'll get to that bell. He very much looked like he was looking for the bell to sound and to just take his 30-27 loss. And sadly, that's what he did, because I didn't get my Andre Mooney's sub like I wanted. But he looked phenomenal, like ready for a huge step up.
Yeah, Hall's got to be frustrating for Fortis to say. He seems not a Saif Saad type of fighter, but he's like, isn't he like the captain of their team and everything at this point?
Yeah, I don't know what a captain of an MMA team is. Like I belong to a grappling gym, but that doesn't mean I know what that is. Because that's just, it's not a standard sport, so you wouldn't have those. But I'll say this, like, yeah, it's got to be weird because he continues to do, like, really, really bizarre shit or seemingly quit. And the thing about Saif Saad coached fighters is it usually seems to be the opposite. You know, like, you couldn't say that about literally any of the other Saif Saad trained fighters I've ever watched, that like it looked like he was looking for the bell to save him, or it looked like he was trying to get just through the last round and not trying to win. Like, think about how tough Ramiz Brahimi was getting up from like literally everything Court McGee threw at him recently. You know, just like never thought he was out of the fight, trying to empty the gas tank with like seconds to go to see if he could get a fluky knockout. Like, that's what you usually see out of Fortis fighters. So like, I don't know if it's just that, like, maybe Hall came up with a different coach originally and maybe that's the difference. But man, yeah, you're right. Probably very frustrating for Saif Saad.
He's basically the opposite of what their fighters normally are.
Yeah.
He's talent and athleticism, but maybe not the grit and the mental aspect. And usually it's the opposite for Fortis. Maybe not the most talented guys or gals, like not the athletic freaks, but they know how to fight. So yeah, interesting. So Hall is now 10-9, so not exactly panning out in the UFC as some people hoped. We had another retirement in the next fight, women's flyweight, Macy Barber, the future, the second future. Ian Garry was the first future. Macy Barber came through, sent Jess Guy into retirement, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Dan picked against Barber out of spite and lost the pick. So did you not?
I mean somewhat not. I think I picked a little bit out of spite and a little bit out of the fact that I believed that Jessica I could do what she did in the second round for two rounds instead of one, because I mean, like, yeah, she won the second round you know, on two out of the three judges' scorecards, and I think the third one made a mistake. So yeah, like man, there's so much to unpack here. It gave me no faith in Macy Barber. No. I'll continue to fade her all the fucking time because, man, did she not look good? I mean, I think you said it best to me when you sent me a message that said she looks like a future journeywoman. Like, yeah, like she looks like she's going to have Jessica Ai's career in 10 years.
She's a 24-year-old journeywoman. 24-year-old veteran is what she is.
Yeah,
and just the athletic gifts aren't there, and the physical makeups. It's not like she's got super long arms or anything like that. She's gritty. She's tough. That's pretty much it. So that's like a journey person to me.
She also doesn't seem to be progressing in any like real meaningful way, right? No. Yeah. So like that's the first piece. Second piece. Don't get me wrong. Jessica is just a fine fighter and had a really nice career. And I believe that the UFC should give everybody their, like, if they're having their retirement fight, you know, like their 30 seconds on the mic to thank everybody and to drop their gloves. But where the fuck was this for Eddie Wineland? Like, how did Jessica I get one of these and Eddie Wineland gets left out in the dark?
The UFC is anti-old-timey mustache, apparently.
Dude, that it's harsh. Like, you know, because like, Eddie Wineland had a... Yeah, I'm going to say this. Eddie Wineland had a better career than Jessica I. Maybe not in the UFC, but the dude wasn't he a WEC champ? He was a WEC champ.
Never die.
Yeah, like he was at the top of the world for a little bit, and somehow we gave Jessica I her moment and not Eddie Wineland. That being said, I'm happy they gave Jessica I her moment as well. But yeah, Macy Barber, I'm not impressed. I'm not sold. Hopefully they feed her to somebody who will beat the hell out of her next.
Why didn't she grab the mic away from I like she did to God. Roxy?
Fucking hell.
Barbara's only getting dunked on because of her attitude personality and the fact.
Well, and did you hear the post fight interview with Macy Barber? I know sometimes you fast forward through that shit.
I don't think actually. I think I skipped it. Yeah.
Good for you, because I had to sit there and listen to her talk about that she's coming for that title. After that performance.
What title is that again?
Yeah, the Valentina Shevchenko's title.
The future hairdresser.
She's in a division with Aaron Blanchfield, Manon Firo, Talia Santos, Valentina Shevchenko, and she puts in a performance where she gets kind of like manhandled for a round against Jessica Ai and is like, yeah, I'm ready for that.
No doubt.
It's just, she's so unlikable.
And then, sadly, someone who is likable, Jessica Rose Clark, got a gruesome arm injury and lost us a bet to start off the night. It seems like we're always whiffing on the first fight of the night, but Julia Stolyarenko finally got her UFC first UFC win after going 0-4 up to this point over two stints. Armbarred Jessica Rose Clark after getting lit up in the feet 42 seconds into the fight. Dislocated her arm or broke her arm. I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm sure Dan has photos of it on his phone.
Yeah, it was gross, and I do. Not much to say about this one. It didn't last long, but I will say this is kind of what Stolyarenko was touted as when she signed the UFC, and I think what the UFC believed in her as and gave her a fourth fight for. So, good for her for finally getting it. It's unfortunate for Jessica Rose Clark. Especially because that does not look like a quick injury to heal either.
And she just got over ACL a couple of years ago. So
yeah,
this is her second, and she's getting up there in years and on a losing streak. So yeah, I know she's a fan favorite, so maybe she'll have a third life. I want to say second life, but she's already come back from a big injury. So anyhow, all the best to her. Did we hear what the diagnosis is?
I don't think so yet. I don't think it's out.
Yeah. And yeah, my diagnosis is I went 9-2. Woohoo. I can't go woohoo because I don't have much of a voice here, but $312 I won. Dan went 8-3. Even when you do good, I beat you by one fight, it seems, every time. $193 win for Dan. On the year, I'm at 67%. I'm up almost $1,400, 5.2% return on investment. Dan, 59%, down $1,200. You're clawing your way back up to respect.
I said I was going to. I said we were going to
get last year.
I said we were going to get to even.
Just like last year. All right, so I got him there. Recommended place. Dan still doesn't really catch on what this is. Hit 3, lost on 2, ended up making 20 cents.
So boom!
You hit DePlisis, you hit Turner, you hit Volkanovski decision. Then you lost on Green and you lost on Munoz via sub. I hit all three of mine, DePlisis, Turner, and Volkanovski, because I am playing it chalky now. I went 3-0, made $66. So recommended plays, I'm at 60% now, up $102. Dan is at 49%. He's down $54, blah. But yet he's still called a Gumby God.
Did you hit any plus 700 underdogs
yesterday?
That's
the thing. You're the homer. I'm trying to – you're Christian Walker. That's who you are.
In the words of a very, very wise couple of pitchers, chicks dig the long ball.
It's true. Very true. Do we dig next week's UFC or this week's UFC, depending on when you're listening? July 9th, we're finally getting our Rafael versus Rafael fight. Dos Anjos versus Fiziev. Been canceled, what, one time?
Just once, I believe. I'll say it's not the best. It's
Sorry,
not
twice.
The best card. We are going to get some hashtag chunky guy action, which we've been waiting for. There's a couple of spots I'm kind of excited about. I really love Ronnie Lawrence versus Sadyakov Krokramanov.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I really like the fact that we're finally getting a Ricky Tercios fight. Ricky Tercios, Ayman Zahabi should be fun as hell. Kai Bohio versus Arman Petrosian is a
weird
ass.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
That's a weird-ass co-main event, but I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a good time.
Do you like them, Dana White Contender Series, prospects being fed to each other this early?
I mean, I do and I don't. I think, personally, it's because the UFC really likes one of these two and is very unsure about the other one.
Which one is which, Dan?
You guys should listen Wednesday or Thursday and find out.
Okay. Plus, there's lots of fun names to say in this one. In Czech Wu, Kokmarnanov, Tiuliulin.
Tui Lulin.
no malarkeys on this fight card. It's a fun fight card. Even Ayman Zahabi is an interesting name to say. So anyhow, that is going down on Saturday, and we will be giving you your picks Wednesday night. You will get our prelims. Thursday afternoon or so, you will get our main card, props, parlays, all that jazz. So I've probably talked enough for now. Follow us, SGPN MMA, Jeff Fox, writer, Gumby Vreeland, all on Twitter. Read all our stuff on sportsgamblingpodcast.com or moneymma.substack.com. You can take us home.
No, I got you. I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's the last style of the inter, Jeff Fox, and we'll catch you next week.